in Joshua chapter 2. I'm going to reference a few other places as well. I wanted to share with you right now that Joshua is preparing his people, getting ready for them to go into the promised land, and he commands them on some things to be ready to move. So they are ready to move. They are not outside the walls of Jericho right now. They are out there. There's some distance between them. But what we see here in Jericho is we see that it is a big city with big walls and a lot of people. But there's something that happens that sometimes when we jump into a story, we just go in and we just read the two things that we want to get out of it. But there is a lot here in this story of Rahab tonight. And it's God is doing a lot more than what you can see. And God is there before you get there. So we know that Rahab is in this. Nobody knows who Rahab is in this moment. No one knows her. But I want to remind you that God knows everyone. And God knows and searches the hearts of people. And sometimes we don't think that God knows lost people. He knows people who are lost as well. He knows who they are. He knows how many hairs are on their head. He knows them. But they are lost. But what we see here is God has chosen Joshua to take over Moses' position as the leader of the national people, the Israelites. They have already left Egypt. They've already wandered out there in the desert for 40 years. That generation has passed on. What we see now is a new generation. We see a new leader, and they're ready to go. God challenges Joshua to be strong and courageous. For some reason, we know that Joshua was a fighter, but some reason, God wanted him to hear it again. And he tells Joshua in chapter 1 to be strong and courageous. But what we see here in chapter 1 of verse 18, the Israelites respond to him saying, "Anyone who rebels against your order and does not obey your words and all that you command him will be put to death." So they're saying, if there anybody of us that doesn't listen to you, Joshua, that person will be put to death. Now, we think that's harsh, but you need to go back and know the story of Moses leading a bunch of stiff-necked people. And he knew what that was all about, being a young man, being a right-hand person for Moses. He saw how this was. But it doesn't finish there. The people say this, above all, be strong and courageous. It's the only challenge that the people give Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Yet God, just a few verses back, when he calls Joshua to be in charge, he says 3 to 5 times, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And here he is. He has the people, and they're ready to go. But he wants to send somebody. He wants to send a couple of people in. And that's what we're going to find out, that there's a lot more to this story than what we know, than what we may have known. But we're going to dig a little deeper, okay? Some of you may know everything I'm telling you tonight, but it will be a repeat for you. But what I want to do is start in chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from the Asia Grove, saying, "Go and scout the land, especially Jericho." So they left, and they came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I just want to remind you that Joshua knows what it means to spy out land. He knows what it means to spy out land. He also was sent as a spy into the land 40 plus years ago. So he also knows what it means to spy out the land. Moses gave him the job to spy out the land. But this time he's giving the job to two individuals. Now, I believe that Joshua chose two men that he trusted, two men that he believed were strong and courageous, not afraid. One would take care of the other if something happened. The right would take care of the left would take care of the right. And they would go out and they would do exactly what they were called to do. I want to just take us back in a little bit in history here in Numbers, when we find out that Moses sent out 12 spies, and Joshua was one of them. And they came back with the 12. The 12 spies came back, and 10 of them gave a very bad, poor report. They looked like grasshoppers, giants. There were giants. We talked about that on Sunday. There were giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers. That means we're small. We're not going to make it. But there were two that said, "We can do this," And so the people rebelled against God, and they began to talk about Egypt again. Let me just remind you, when people start talking about how fun the past is, it's time to move away from them. If it's a sinful past, you need to step away. They're always wanting to go to the past, but you know what? They don't want to go alone. They want you to go with them. They want you to go with them. But what happens is God gets upset with his people. God says, okay. After Moses and Aaron fall down on the Lord, and they beg God not to destroy the people. And they said, please pardon the people's sin. We see it in verse 20. He says, the Lord responded, I have pardoned them as you requested. Yet as surely as I live, as the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of the men who have seen my glory and had the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tested me these 10 times and did not obey me will ever see the land I swore to give their fathers. None of those who have despised me will see it. But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has remained loyal to me, I will bring him into the land where he has gone and his descendants will inherit it. Wow. And then he goes over into verse 36. So the man Moses sent to scout out the land, who returned and incited the entire community to complain about him by spreading a negative report about the land. Those men who spread the negative report about the land were struck down by the Lord. Only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tough name, remained alive of those who sent to scout out the land. Wow. So we have all that to say that there's history here. Sending out two men. It wasn't Joshua and it wasn't Caleb. I'm telling you, these boys can fight and they fight later. But it's like we said on Sunday, there comes a moment when you can't do what you used to do in ministry. So Joshua is not going out and doing the spying this time. And he didn't choose Caleb either. Caleb is the oldest cat in the house. He is the oldest one. But Joshua said, you're not going. He picks two to go. And what happens, we find out, is they go out and they begin to spy out the land. And they end up in a prostitute's home named Rahab. They are not there to be sinful. They're there to hide in the best place possible as they spy out the land. But the story continues to move forward because people are always watching you. When you do good, they're watching. When you do something wrong, they're watching you. It's sad to say when you're doing good, sometimes it's not to come up alongside you, encourage you, but it's sometimes they're watching you and they become jealous or they become envious. Regardless, they're watching you. It says the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelite men have come here tonight to investigate the land. Then the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, for they came to investigate the entire land. The king sends word, give them up. But Rahab had a decision to make. Her life is weighing in the balance. If I don't give them up, if I give them up, she didn't know anything. She didn't know how it was going to go. She didn't know how it was going to turn out. But the men were there. That is the truth. Someone caught it and saw these men. They were strangers in the city. Verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So she said, yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from. At nightfall, when the city gate was about to close, the men went out, and I don't know where they are going. Chase after them quickly, and you can catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them among the stalks of flax that she had arranged on the roof. the men pursued them on the road of the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as they came to pursue them and the city gate was shut, they were locked in to the city, but she chose to hide them in her own home. She makes a decision. She hides the men. That's what she does, at the risk of her own life. Her hiding them, as we'll find out, is an act of faith. And Rahab sends the men, the king's men, down another road. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, where you're trying to figure out what choice to make. But I want to remind you that God was already there. As we get deeper into this, we're going to see how big God really is. Verse 8, before the men fell asleep, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea because you, when you came out of the Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, who you completely destroyed across the Jordan. When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my father's family because I showed kindness to you. So we see Rahab confronts these men. Her business is not done. They feel like their business, they're going to sleep and maybe get up in the morning, get into the crowd, and they're going to be gone. But no, she doesn't let them fall asleep yet. She says, listen, there's some business we got to talk about. I know this, Lord. I know this, Lord, you're talking about. I've heard the stories. Let me tell you, when you share stories about the Lord, they do affect people. They are not just fables and stories that mean nothing. There is power in these stories. To hear that they came across the Red Sea and came out of Egypt, that mighty army of Egypt. And she says that, so what she begins to do is she is testifying about God. These are servants of in Israel doing Lord's work. They mention not much about the Lord. They do it later. But it is this woman who is a prostitute, who is not of, she is a Gentile. She is not of the Israelites. She's probably looked on as the worst person. But God chooses her. And she's in the midst of this whole thing. She is in the middle of what is about to happen. And she is testifying about God. James 2:25 says this, in the same way as James is sharing about faith, that faith must have action. You know, faith without works is dead. It says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? God considers that faith. You might not think it's faith, but God considers that faith. You know why you don't think of it as faith? Because you're thinking, what's the big deal? Her life was on the line. That's the big deal. Her life was on the line, and she put her life on the line to help two men of God to do what God has called them to do through Joshua. But God, can God use a prostitute? I ask you to look in the mirror. Rahab, what I like about Rahab, she's a strong woman. She stands up to them boys. She don't let them go to sleep. So, well, boys, here you go. I got some things we got to talk about. She takes over the whole conversation. Why do you think they let that? Because all she had to do was scream. Say, they're here. And they would have came. So They were trying to go along with what was going on. They were trying to go along. But she says, she goes on. Well, she says, now swear to me by the Lord. Now, she doesn't say swear by your own. She says, swear by the Lord. You know, there are a lot of prostitutes today who know a little bit about the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. What they're doing, what they do is sinful. There's a lot of people living in sin that know a little bit about the Lord. That don't save you. That don't save them. It's a relationship with the Lord. But he says, show kindness. She said, show kindness because I show kindness to you. Wow, if we Christians would even just get that. Show kindness to me because I show kindness to you. But we are taught to show kindness even when people don't show us kindness. But we struggle with that. She's at least trying to get something out of this and protection for her family. She says, give me a sure sign. I need a sure sign. And if you want to think signs are not good and not right, you need to go to the book of Judges and read the story of Gideon. I've seen so many people beat this woman up. Yes, she was a sinner. But at this moment, her life is changing. Her life is changing. What she did before was sinful. But what she's doing right now, in the midst of all this turmoil, all this is going on. Her life is on the line. These guys' life is on the line. But God's in the room. You know how you know God's in the room? When you start testifying about what God has done. God is in the room. She's testifying about all the things that God did. She's speaking truth. When you speak truth about God, you're testifying about God. She just says, I don't want to die. She goes, I get it. We've lost. Everybody has failed. Everybody's courage has failed. We've heard about what God has done. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, sisters, and all belong to them and save us from death. The man answered, we will give our lives for yours if you don't report our mission. That's what they were fearful of. Because I don't think they were truthfully really scared of losing their lives, but not what it was not fulfilling the mission. These were different men than those 10 others that were way back 40 years ago. They came back. They were not strong and courageous. They came back saying, we can't do this. He says, we will give our lives for yours if you don't report our mission. We will show kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us the land. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, since she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. Go to the hill country so that the men pursuing you won't find you. She said to them, hide there for 3 days until they return. Afterwards, go on your way. She knows how this works. And we find out through Scripture, they do exactly what she says. The Lord is telling these men what to do through her. And the men said to her, we will be free from this oath. And they're going back to what they made this oath. We will be free of this oath you made us swear. I tell you, the woman's kind of in charge at this moment in some sense. That you made us swear. But God is in the room. Unless, when we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. And then it talks about bringing all your family in here. When we come, you all got to stay in here. Let me remind you, that red scarlet cord. Oh, she puts it out there pretty quick. Okay? She puts it out there quick. But if you go back to Egypt, before they were even free, before the generation that birthed them and raised them, their fathers and grandparents, they all back in Egypt, there was a moment where they had the Passover meal. When they had to put the lamb's blood over the doorposts. Here we're seeing a red scarlet rope piece hanging from the window, and they're going to pass by when they come in. And we know that when Egypt, all the firstborn in Egypt died, but all God's people, and with the blood of the Passover, they all lived. Folks, everyone that is in that room lives. Everyone in there lives. God was doing more in that room than he was doing pretty much anywhere else at that time. Can you imagine taking the big picture? The world is turning. The stars are shining. The sun is doing what the sun is supposed to do. The stars are twinkling. The animals are doing their thing. And God decides to step into a room of a prostitute's room and said, I got two of my men here. There's a prostitute here, but we're going to do business. We're going to do some business. Nobody even thought about a red scarlet rope out there. No, who wouldn't say, she just did what she thought she could do. God was working. God was working through the men. The men made it back. They made it safely out. Don't think that when these men were going down that rope out of her window, don't you think that she was like thinking, oh, nobody, I don't want nobody to see, because they would come right after her. But God was taking care of even that. And so we see that she asked for a sure sign, and she's given that peace. And there's some time that takes place, and then Joshua comes in, and they take over Jericho. But I want to read something out of Joshua 6, 24 and 25. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. That was big news. That was big. That was something big. Hiding those men. And I think it's more important than what we think it is. But then the end of that verse says this, and she lives among the Israelites today. What? She lives among the Israelites today. She lives among the Israelites today. I got to hurry because I'm running out of time. Listen, when Jericho burnt down, her past was over. Fire purifies. Check this out. Only God could do this. Matthew chapter 1, it says this in verse 5, the genealogy of Jesus. Solomon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Say, what? God takes a prostitute and puts him and grafts her into the family of God. Just like we are Gentiles, we come in and we are engrafted into the family of Jesus. Woo! She is mentioned. Only like five women are mentioned in this whole genealogy of Jesus. And God puts the writer to write in, I got to have Rahab's name. I got to have Rahab's. I got lots of kings. I got some kings in there. But I want this prostitute in here. Because what would happen in that room was the future also of God's people. So Solomon fathered Boaz by Rahab. So they had a son. She married an Israelite. Who would have a prostitute? And not even of the people, of the same people. But she lived among the Israelites. Guess what she learned? Who God was even more. She was discipled in the things of God. Discipled in the laws of God, the Leviticus, and all that stuff. She got educated. She got discipled, and her life changed. And somebody said, I don't like that. And they were married. And so they fathered together. They had Boaz. And if you've ever read the book of Ruth, and Ruth, right? Is a part of the family too. So Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. And then what we see here, we go on down and we see now Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David. Oh, King David's great, great, great grandmother was a prostitute. Wow. Isn't that something? You know, in Scripture, You'll see that, I got to hurry up. In Scripture, you'll see in Romans, it talks about the new, you'll talk about the new man and the old man. You'll talk about the Adam. You'll see all that stuff. You'll see where Esau sold his birthright. You'll see things that some people did that didn't really kind of get their life back right with God. And the bad things are kind of spoken about. But when you see David in the future, you never see his sins brought up. David did this, David did that. You'll see it in the story, but you won't see it in the New Testament. Because when you go and you ask God and you repent, God forgives. We can learn about the junk in the past, but we learn the positive stuff, it continues to roll out. But what we see with Rahab is a little bit different. What we see is she's always mentioned as a prostitute. Except here. But in James, she's mentioned as a prostitute. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, Rahab the prostitute. What I believe the leader, what the Lord is saying, listen, it doesn't matter who you are. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you have faith, He'll call you out. You can have faith no matter who you are. You can come to Christ no matter who you are. By faith, the Rahab the prostitute welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who were destroyed. She gets a verse. And then the writer says, but we don't have time to talk about Barak and Samson and Gideon. Those mighty great men, those judges and all those guys, the writer says, we ain't got time to talk about them, but we'll talk about Rahab. What? Wow. Huh. Know why? Because God loves prostitutes. God loves people who are addicted. But what I love about God, He will not leave you there. If you show any inkling in your heart that is true and real, and any just a little ounce of faith that you believe and you testify, I believe in God, I don't understand Him, but I believe in Him, I'm telling you, God will not leave you there. He will begin to move you toward Himself, and through that, He will process, and you'll learn how to repent, call upon His name, and you will not be the same. When she left Jericho, she left all her stuff there. And she began a new journey with Jesus. She never ran back to Jericho. She never did enough. She said, I got something good here. Ain't no man going to use me and abuse me no more. And God saw that. And He saw her. And He says, I want you to destroy Jericho. I want you to tear it all down. Everything dies. You can take all the gold and put it into my temple. But this is the first one you're going to do it. And you're going to listen. You're going to do it my way. And then God says, but there's one right through there. That little box right there. That little window right there you got to pass by. Wasn't a king. Wasn't anybody in there. Wasn't another. No, it was a prostitute. And it's weird. It is crazy. God said, I want that one in my genealogy. Wow. Never think that your past defies you. God can set you a future that is way beyond your understanding. I never thought in one moment that I'd be doing what I'm doing. I have my whole life planned out. Never have I thought I'd be doing what I'm doing. And some of you, the same. But you got to get out of the room. You got to put the cord out. You got to follow through. You got to have faith with action. And then there's the faith when you can't put the action in, when she's waiting in the room like, oh, I got to have, we have faith. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. All the work has been done, but the faith continues to go. Every one of us need to be working and serving in some sense of our capacity in this world. Every one of us need to have a desire to draw closer to God. Every one of us should be not looking at the past in the sense of I want to go back to the past, but I want to go more into a relationship with God. And she lived with the Israelites. Everything changed. For us, and I became a believer. And I became a faithful, committed member of a local church. I began to follow and be discipled in the Word of God. I began to start to serve. I began to pray, not just for myself, for others, but keep on growing in your walk with the Lord. Father, as we get ready to close, I pray, Father, that your Spirit will continue to move upon us in the way that you would have for us tonight. In Christ, amen. Let's stand.